Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads. On this week's Soul Share episode, I'm very excited to have Lee Holden here with me on the show. Lee is the host of the show Superhuman Experience on Gaia and a world-renowned Qigong master who has helped teach people all around the world this transformative science that helps improve the life force of individuals by activating dormant energy within them. Super excited to have you here. Hello, Lee. Welcome, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. So glad to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be good. We played... Reschedule a few times, and I always take that as a sign that we're leading up to something really good, so no pressure, but
it's gonna be good. We're gonna be talking about some mystical stuff here. I think it's gonna be really fun.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm gonna start with my maybe less than mystical cliche opening question, and it is this. You are in an elevator, the woman next to you looks over, says, "What's your passion?" You have 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
I tell her Qigong. Qigong is the art of effortless power, where it combines movement, meditation, stretching, and even exercise to create a cohesive energy cultivation practice. Mm. And I've been able to teach it all over the world and through specials like on PBS, mm-hmm. and written some books on it and helped hundreds of thousands of people.
Amazing. What a unique path you've taken. And I'd love to obviously learn about that path. I think that, you know, sharing, if you would, whatever feels relevant to share regarding your backstory that led you, you know, down this path.
Yeah. And this is a backstory that was a catalyst that completely changed my life, because I was a collegiate soccer player. Hmm. I had an injury, a low back injury, where I was jumping up in the air to hit the ball with my head, and somebody took out my legs and I landed on my tailbone.
Oh, wow.
And so I was a, you know, 19 or 20 year old, very fit athlete. And the next day I was hobbling around with like a walker. I couldn't even stand up straight. Wow. And I spent the next 3 weeks doing that. The team doctor said I was out for the season. I did all the Western medicine things, like took the painkillers, had the cortisone shots. And it did nothing for my back pain and gave me a stomach ache because of the medication. So I was very depressed, which led me to my martial arts teacher as a 10-year-old boy. Now, this martial arts teacher, he broke a stack of bricks. And I don't know if you've ever seen a martial artist break a stack of bricks, but in person, it was very impressive, especially to a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And I asked him afterwards, I said, "How did you do that?" And he said, "The power of chi." Mm. So I went and found this guy, and he gave me acupuncture and he showed me Qigong exercises. And in like a few sessions, I was 80, 90% better. Three, four sessions into it, I was back playing soccer. And I was like, why aren't more people doing this? This is incredible. And actually that sparked this passion for me to study deeper. I ended up going to Asia about 12 times. My first job out of college was as a ghostwriter for a Qigong master in Thailand. And I would go on retreat with him, help him teach, write his books, organize all kinds of stuff. And it just gave me this one-on-one experience with the master.
Wow.
And it was just an incredible way to start my career as a young 20-year-old.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's you really have been on the path from the beginning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And I'm so glad because all my friends were getting jobs in Silicon Valley and making money with the stock market boom in the 90s. And I was coming home from Asia and teaching them all these cool practices that helped them manage their stress.
Yeah.
And I started to develop a language that really made sense for Westerners, because practices like Tai Chi and Qigong, which Tai Chi is actually a form of Qigong, if people are wondering. Kind of seem like they're for, you know, older people to do in the parks, and it's just not true. It's for anybody who wants less stress and more energy and to get themselves out of pain or activate healing within themselves. And we've just seen incredible, miraculous stories as people do these ancient practices and help to create balance for modern life.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. If you would just kind of, for those who have never experienced Tai Chi or Qigong, explaining a little bit more about, you know, what those practices entail. They've never seen the guy. I mean, I have the token guy in my park a block away every time I go over there. I think that's like so a cool thing. Explain a little bit more about the practice itself, if you would.
Yeah. Yeah. We have seen, you know, the people in the parks, you know, doing these movements. And the reason they go outside in the parks is the originating theme of the practice is to move with nature.
Yeah.
In fact, it originated by mirroring the movements of nature, you know, a tree in the wind, a wave in the ocean, the animals, and starting to move our bodies in these very natural ways that activate energy. So the word qi means life force energy. Or it means energy, and it's the force that keeps us alive.
Yeah.
So it's not as mystical maybe as it may sound. It's mystical, but it's, for example, it's the power behind the heartbeat. We would call that heart qi.
Mm-hmm.
It's the energy of digestion. We call that digestive qi. It's the energy of our mind, you know, mind qi. So everything within us has a particular kind of energy. And when, let's say there's a problem, there's some kind of block or stagnation in the energy flow. So Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, all focus on the flow of energy as it moves through the mind and the body. Now, Qigong practice is a movement practice. It's a martial art. It's a meditative practice. And it's been around for about 5,000 years. Which is quite incredible because Western medicine, for example, has been around 200 years.
Right.
Chinese medicine, 5,000 years. And Qigong was one of those branches of medicine. And it was written about in the medical records as one of the first places where we see exercise as medicine, as preventative medicine. Now, interestingly enough, the way this medicine worked was as long as you were healthy, you paid your healthcare practitioner. As soon as you got sick, you stop paying. Now, happens then is it creates true healthcare.
What a trip. I love that.
What a trip, right? Can you imagine going to your doctor and saying, hey, I got a headache.
You screwed up, buddy.
You screwed up.
I'm charging you.
I got neck pain. I got this, you know. Well, our model, nobody gets paid unless people are sick.
That's mind-blowing.
So it's a big
trillion-dollar
business. Because people are sick, we don't focus on prevention. We focus on sickness and illness. And
right.
Yes, we have a great technology behind our medicine, but a system that's very flawed and frustrating for people to go through, with lots of side effects as soon as you get on medication or procedures or whatnot. And so we really need to take our health into our own hands, and a practice like Qigong does exactly that. It prevents problems from arising. It's going to help you to stay energized. I mean, I always tell people, who doesn't want less stress and more energy? I mean, these are the things that often we as modern life people are really seeking, because in Chinese medicine, we look for the root cause of a problem. And all you have to do is look at the studies on stress, and we see that it is the root cause of most ailments.
Yeah.
You know, they say about 90% of primary care doctor visits are rooted in stress. So we get stressed out, and then whatever that stress manifests inside of you causes us to go to the doctor. And so we really look at stress as a way to keep that stress levels low and those energy levels high.
Yeah, you know what? What comes to mind? Wouldn't it be interesting if doctors started, holistic doctors or something, started this, like this sort of a model, like brought it back, right? Like, would people?
That is definitely you know, I've thought about that a lot. Like, how do we bring this preventative model back? I mean, and we have it because individuals are demanding it. I mean, we see exercise on the rise. We see nutrition and health practices on the rise. People taking supplements. Acupuncture is one of the fastest growing professions in the Western world. Yeah. And so because of the frustrations of Western medicine, people are really seeking alternatives. But, you know, I would love to see insurance companies sponsor healthcare programs where we reverse the model, because if we focus on health with our technology, we're going to see a paradigm shift. And I think that's exactly what we need in medicine, is a paradigm shift. We need a paradigm shift, you know, towards the environment and nature and other things as well. But I think for medicine, I mean, this would be a huge thing where people would really be able to tap into our innate healing power that we have within ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think... Having you know, practiced and taught for a long time now, right?
35 years.
Wow. Why do you think, you know, it's helpful with reducing stress, improving relaxation, mental health, etc.?
Yeah, you know, it's this focus on the totality of ourselves. You know, in the West, we separate everything. Everything is disintegrated. Mm-hmm. Whereas this kind of practice is integrated. We don't see the mind separate from the emotions, separate from the body, as we do in the West. I mean, if you have a emotional issue, you go see your psychologist. A spiritual issue, we're supposed to see the priest. You know, a body issue, we're supposed to see a doctor. And those doctors often never talk to the psychologist. Or there's such a specialization in our medicine that, you know, if you have digestive issues, you have to see a digestive specialist. Well, in Chinese medicine, we'll say, well, what's the root cause of your digestive issues? And often it is some kind of emotional stress. We don't like our jobs. We're constantly fighting with this or that person. We have family dynamic issues that's causing us a lot of stress. And then it's creating this physical problem. And then we're taking a medication maybe to suppress some kind of pain within us. So we're not really listening to the wisdom of our bodies. And we just keep chugging along. What we say, well, then this will create more problems. So if we clear the emotional stress and we then bring more healing energy into our digestive system, all of a sudden we have systemic healing. And we understand that everything is integrated and connected. So a practice like Qigong is going to help clear emotional stress. You might come, you know, people come to see me for a Qigong practice and they'll say, I got neck and shoulder pain. And I'll teach them exercises for that neck and shoulder pain. And they'll say, you know what, the pain's better, but, you know, also I'm sleeping better and I have a lot more energy. And the cascade of positive side effects go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when you're on pharmaceuticals, you get these negative side effects that you always have to weigh pros and cons to the symptom. I don't know, but you've seen the commercials, right? You're like, Take this jug for depression, and it might cause your eyeballs to glow. And your,
yeah, you know, right. But yellow. I sure am happy running on the beach, like with my glowing eyeballs.
Yeah, just sometimes I see that in the commercials, they show people doing Tai Chi and Qigong in the background.
Mm.
And I was like, no, don't take the drug. Do the exercises that those people are doing.
Oh, man, that's ridiculous. Wow. What a trip. So for those who haven't practiced, I mean, I've practiced a little bit. It's something that I've said for years I'd like to integrate more, and I've kind of dabbled here and there. As far as advanced levels of practice, what I've seen with it is, in my exposure, is it's relatively simple too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the great thing. You don't have to even change your clothes. You don't have to put on the spandex or the workout outfits or the yoga clothes. You can just really do it in a very easy way. It's so simple, but when you get the results, you're just like, wow, is that really possible? So for me, what I wanted to do is make this practice accessible. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to teach, people working in jobs, housewives, house husbands, moms, dads, and really give people tools and resources so that they can take charge of their energy. Energy is life. And so if we're more connected to our energy and our energy systems, we can really say, where can I bring in balance? When I have pain and discomfort, when I have sickness and disease, it's showing that there's blocked energy. If mm-hmm. I get the chi to circulate, I'm going to feel better. I'll create a healing effect. So when we say pain is stagnation of chi. And so when you remove the block, all of a sudden the chi starts to flow, and flowing energy, like flowing water, is healthy. When water stagnates, it applies to almost all aspects of our lives. And we forget that, and the beautiful thing about our Western research now is it's showcasing what these ancient masters have said all along. There's a new study that says sitting is the new swimming. If we sit too long, it's hazardous to our health as significant as smoking is.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, it makes sense from a Chinese medicine, from a Qigong perspective, because the qi is getting stagnant. Stagnation of qi leads to different problems. And so you can just see this, if somebody takes a long road trip or you sit in an airplane for 6 hours, nobody goes, oh my God, I feel so relaxed. I've been just sitting down for 6 hours and now I'm really well rested. No, people are like, oh my God, my back hurts. Mm-hmm. I feel uncomfortable.
Great.
This is classic stagnation of qi. But, mm-hmm. Unfortunately we do that each and every day. We sit too long at work. We come home, we sit for dinner, and then we sit down and watch a TV show, where we need a lot more movement. And not only movement, we need different kinds of movement. Movement of the breath, stretching movements, little exercise, flowing movements where your body actually gets to relax into the movement. And so one of the principles of Qigong is movement with relaxation as a way to create circulation of energy.
Mm. Yeah. Very, very cool. Yeah, I've heard that a lot about sitting, and it's especially now in the world of like Zoom, and we're all staring at screens all day, every day. And then it's like, okay, now I'm going to relax and go stare at a different screen. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I encourage people to get out in nature, often people hear me making qi break suggestions. So every hour, every other hour, just stand up from your desk and do 3 minutes of Qigong. Mm. Take a little qi break, and your body mind feels really different at the end of the day if you do a little 3 minute break every hour or every other hour, two or three times during your day. Man, you don't take all that stress home from your job back into your home life.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty digestible too. You just said take 10 minutes at a different intervals. You don't need to put on the workout outfit. You can, can you give some examples of what people could do? Without them seeing you?
Absolutely. And even this one is an exercise you could do at your desk. Mm-hmm. It'll combine movement with breathing. And I know some of your audience probably can't see me, so let me explain this just through verbal explanation. It's a very simple exercise. You can do it standing or seated. It's called spinal cord breathing. And it's a great way to just loosen up the joints in your spine and not carry so much tension in the back. And you're just going to bring your hands by your shoulders. When you inhale, take a nice deep breath through your nose and just look up and open your chest. And then when you exhale, you're going to round your back, bring your chin down, your elbows closer together, and kind of tuck your tailbone under. And then inhale, nice deep breath, and you look up. And you exhale, round your back, tuck the tailbone under, chin down towards your chest. And it's a nice slow movement, and you're moving all the joints in your spine. We call it oiling the joints. So when we feel stiff and tight, it's kind of like the chi is stagnating, and we get tension either in the neck and shoulders or the low back. I'm not sure, Brandon, if you ever get tension in the neck and shoulders or your audience gets tension in the neck and shoulders, because the positive head is also creates positive energy in the body, but we still get too much tension in our bodies. So
it's funny. I mean, I know that back, shoulders, it's such a common, you know, complaint and issue with people. I mean, how many of us either there's back pain, you listening have back pain, or you know someone who has, you know, chronic back pain. And I've been pretty blessed to have minimal, that sort of thing. But, you know, I even think of my partner. She, you know, will have, you know, shoulder pain frequently. And,
oh, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So,
and sometimes, you know what, and here's a good point. We don't even know how good we can feel. We're like, you know, a lot of people, oh, I don't have this much pain, or I have a little pain here, but that's normal. Or, you know, I have, it's hard for me to fall asleep at night. I don't have energy through the day. I need my cup of coffee. I need this, that, and the other. We actually have so much potential, and we have so much vitality that if we could free it up, we feel, you know, supercharged. And that's kind of what this practice, that's what gets me so excited about this practice is people are often like, I didn't know I could feel this good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling normal isn't where it's at. Just feeling fine is not where it's at. It's feeling vibrant, alive, vitality. All these things are available as we start to cultivate energy in the right way.
Yeah, you know, what comes to mind is the book that I've referenced quite a few times on the show, The Untethered Soul, that talks, I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but he talks about,
absolutely,
you know, it's sort of like a faucet having chi come through your heart if, you know, and this is a more of a non-physical, perspective on tuning into more life force energy or not. And I think that's a really interesting thing to consider as well as the non-physical aspect. Like if you're, as that book kind of talks about, like the most important thing is that you enter into any situation with an open heart, because, you know, what's happening is we're constantly turning, you know, opening and closing our hearts all day, every day based off of inputs. And this person said this thing to me and I didn't like it, my heart closes, or I smell a smell that reminds me of a good memory, my heart opens, you know, or vice versa. Right. So I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah. And I think the power and potential in a lot of these different energy centers is available. So exactly, when our heart's life with joy and gratitude, it's very different than we're moving through life with, you know, anxiety and stress. You know, energy levels are way higher when we're open hearted, because we're receiving energy as opposed to being closed off to energy.
Yeah,
we're talking about energy and these things, but it has a very physiological effect in our system. Just for example, when we're under stress, it shifts us into fight or flight mode.
Yep.
Fight or flight is a sympathetic response in your nervous system that says that the environment around you is dangerous.
Yeah.
And so we have a hypervigilant stress response, so that, you know, traffic seems like you're facing a grizzly bear. Talking to your boss or thinking about public speaking or work that we need to do is like standing on the edge of a cliff. You know, we go into this sympathetic response over and over again, we're not designed to constantly be in sympathetic. It wears and tears on our system and it drains us of energy. The yeah. other side of the nervous system, parasympathetic, we call it rest and digest. Mm-hmm. This is, if we spend more time there, we're going to receive energy. We're going to replenish our reserves. We're going to charge our batteries. And that's actually the part of our nervous system where your body will self-regulate. Mm-hmm. When we're in parasympathetic, we're actually healing. Your body has tremendous healing power. It just doesn't get activated when we're constantly stressed out. Yeah. So one of the first things to do when we want more energy and we want to create a healing effect in our system is to get out of chronic stress and find things that can bring us into relaxation multiple times a day. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, not only are we healing, but we're recharging our batteries. In Qigong practice, we talk about the three treasures. And these are three very specific energy centers in the body. The heart is one. And this is when our heart is in more of a joyful state. The other thing, when we're in sympathetic, we're not really in a happiness state. We're in, we're in go, go, go mode. We're in stress. We're in anxiety mode. And that, we can't be happy and stressed out at the same time. It actually is biologically a different response. And yeah. so when the heart is open, we are in that parasympathetic. When we're feeling joyful, when we're feeling at peace, when we're feeling, you know, passionate about our work in the world, it's a really different area within us that we're coming from. The other yeah. three treasures are the treasure of the body, which is the lower belly center. This is kind of in martial arts. We talk about this as a power center. This is like the battery to our physical body, where we get mm-hmm. vitality from. And the third treasure in the Qigong practice would be the head, our consciousness. Mm. So if your mind is in the right state, we're more present, we're clear in our thoughts, we're not just ruminating on the negative things about our past or the worries about our future. We have a calm, clear mind and a relaxed heart. We're going to have a tremendous amount more energy available. Yeah. Then if you yeah. do physical practices like Qigong, yoga, breath work, you're going to also amp up your energy. So getting those three areas in alignment, mm-hmm. you can really cultivate a lot of internal power.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes total sense. And it's the results speak for themselves. I always say with these things, just try. And that's what I love about Qigong in general. It's like, it's so, like I said, it's so simple. It's such an easy access. It's not like, okay, I got to go join the gym. I got to get the clothes. I got to drive down the road. I got to, you know, and yeah. I think that's accessible is good.
Yeah. That's what I love about this practice is the accessibility. And, you know, now all my classes are online on Zoom, and I have, you know, people tuning in, you know, from Europe, Australia, New Zealand, India. You know, it's just like incredible to see. I have a big screen TV and I just see all their amazing faces on Zoom. And we do classes three times a week. And
amazing.
And the results are, they just blow my mind. You know, I do a 20-minute Q&A before class, and I just get to mm-hmm. hear about people's healing journeys and what has transpired over just a few months of doing their practice. And it is absolutely inspiring to me. This is why I love this practice so much.
Very cool. Yeah. One thing that comes to mind, you had asked me earlier about any back pain or anything or shoulders. And, you know, I was thinking in a more of a, like a achy pain kind of thing. But one thing that has happened to me recently, and I'm curious your thoughts, is going to the gym. And I think from lifting weights, I've noticed this over the years at different times where it's like, I could do a particular shoulder exercise and it's like, I have a pain in the shoulder. And, this happened to me a few months ago and I'll still feel it sometimes. Like when I lay on my left side, it's like, it hasn't quite healed. So I'm curious. And then I was talking to someone about it and they're like, oh, you should do an exercise of like focusing on sending healing energy to that spot, you know, visualization along with a particular exercise. And they kind of high level touched on that. So I'm curious when you start talking about an injury, kind of thing, you know, what would your recommendation be to someone like me? Because I'm sure there's others out there.
Right. And the way that we look at this kind of issue is you can get stagnation of chi in a variety of different ways. So an injury is one, like you know, lifting weights, playing sports. Like I had an injury in my low back, and the, you know, what happens with that trauma is, you know, we get inflammation, we get swelling, and, you know, in the Chinese medicine perspective, it would be the qi isn't circulating. And so as we get qi circulating in that area, it's going to start creating a healing effect. So you could do a variety of different things. You know, you can do massage therapy, physical therapy. We could do hot cold therapies. You could do acupuncture, or we could do our own therapy. Like if you go to the gym, what I would recommend is you warm up the shoulder, warm up the body a little bit more before getting right into the weights, not just a lighter weight routine, but actual like a Qigong warm up. So your whole body's nice and warm. The joints are nice and loose. Now, when you do our, when you do your exercises, your body's ready for it. You know, for example, Brandon, there's a great shoulder exercise called oiling the shoulders. And we can even do it right here, right now.
Cool.
And what happens is we combine a simple movement with a mindfulness practice so that you are using the mind to help heal the body. Now, people, don't forget, your mind has a powerful effect on your body. I mean, most medications work with placebo as a partner. Mm-hmm. You know, the placebo, when we say, oh, this pill is going to help your shoulder pain and we take it, man, if we believe in it enough, all of a sudden, miraculously, the shoulder pain goes away. So you're
over 30% of healing, they say, including surgery is placebo.
Including surgery. I mean, the sham surgery with the placebo studies, you get almost the same results as regular surgeries. They did a whole thing with patients with knee issues. And they just, you know, half of them, they did the regular surgery, and the other half, they just opened up the knee and then closed it up, and people didn't know. And you got about the same results. So if we believe it strongly enough, it's going to definitely help your body. So knowing that, use your mind to help heal the body. Mm-hmm. And for example, let's just do a shoulder circle. So we lift the shoulders up by the ear, pull them back and down, do it real nice and gentle. Just make
some big circle
with the shoulders, and if you close your eyes and imagine this nice warm oil circulating through
your shoulder joints
as you're doing the movement and taking a few deep breaths, and this healing energy swirling through those joints, clearing any stagnation or blockage as you're doing it.
All of a
sudden, you're using your mind and your body to move energy where you want it to go. And relax. So something as simple as that is very powerful, because it's going to be directing the qi with movement, with just a simple movement and your mind. And then all of a sudden, like, wow, that was simple. And my body feels better.
I love it. I love it. It's so simple. It's like, once again, how can I not do it? It's like, if you can't do that, you're just give up, because that's a simple and it instantly feels good, right? You feel, that's what I love about these sorts of focused, you know, intentional practices of any kind. You instantly feel like, why am I not doing more of this sort of thing? Whenever you take a moment to, you know.
Yeah, like I finished teaching my class yesterday, and I felt so good. I mean, this is just always surprising me. I've been doing this for 35 years. Mm-hmm. And at the end of class, I'm like, gosh, I feel good. I mean, I'm almost like, I feel like I'm light in my body. You know, there's a feeling when qi isn't circulating that you're carrying your body around. Mm-hmm. And when energy is circulating, you feel like you're floating, or you have this feeling of hovering, or you feel this lightness within you. It's very hard to explain.
Yeah.
The sensation of qi. Maybe what we could do is take your audience through a qi exercise where they actually feel their energy, and it only takes about 1 minute to feel qi in a profound way in the hands. But it just feels so light and flowy is the word I'm going to use. Getting into that flow state is a beautiful experience.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to do that. We can. If you want to do that now, we could do that
while we're doing these exercises. Let's feel, what does qi feel like in your body? Well, we're going to activate some energy within you. And this energy activation exercise is quite simple. You just take the fingernails and place them together. And then what you're going to do is just rub them back and forth. These are acupressure points at the ends of the fingers. And as you rub the fingernails back and forth, you're stimulating the meridian lines and the acupressure points. And do it vigorously. Do it a little stronger. Go back and forth and just take a couple of deep breaths. And we're just stimulating the pressure points. And then we're going to afterwards feel the energy in our hands. Vigorously rub back and forth. Take a deep breath. And then just put your hands in your lap and notice the sensation in the hands. Often when chi is activated, it feels tingling. It feels like electricity. It is electricity. It's your bioelectricity. It might feel warm and buzzy. And that is energy activation.
Yeah.
Can you feel that?
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Very cool. Very cool. So what we do in let's say a class is we'll activate energy through the whole body before we go into these flowing movements. And in Qigong practice, what I love about it, because it comes from martial arts, the energy exercises that the martial artists use to warm up and power up their systems, you get this buzz through the whole body. We stretch muscles, maybe in like in a similar way as yoga, but probably quite a bit simpler. Mm-hmm. And then we also do these joint oiling exercises. Because it's martial arts, you want your joints to be supple as well as the muscles elongated. And then the final part of the practice would often be these moving meditations, these flowing exercises where you're moving with relaxation so that you receive energy. These are the true energy cultivation exercises. So you kind of prime with stretching, breath work, joint opening exercises, and then we go into these flowing movements that cultivate energy and create a meditative state of mind.
Yeah, very cool. You know, Lee, I just realized something really cool. A song that I've listened to, one of my favorite songs in recent years, you know, one of those that's just been on repeat the last, I think around the start of COVID, I started listening to it, and I would bet it's in my top 3 to 5 most listened to songs in the last few years, is a song called Flying by an artist named Creature, K-R-E-T-U-R-E.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Which is featuring Lee Holden. I'm like, you're sitting here talking, and I'm like, I know this voice. Like, wow. I love, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, in the song, of course, you're teaching at one point, you know, feel the chi circulating in your body, you know,
yes.
And tap into that feeling of being inspired.
That is so cool. I didn't know anybody heard that song.
Yeah, it's such a good song. It's like one of my faves. And you know what? Maybe we'll throw it at the end of this.
That would be cool. And you know, you're the second person that's mentioned this to me in this week. And
really?
It's been out for a few years. And, you know, he just said, hey, I love your work. Can I capture some of your affirmations that you use in your Qigong class and your videos and put it to a song? And I said, absolutely.
It's such
and
a
so
good song.
We've even talked about doing a kind of a further project.
You should.
To create some more. So you've totally inspired me to do it.
You should. I mean, honestly, you guys judge for yourself. I'll play the song at the end of this episode. My first, you know, first time listening to it was with, like a plant medicine journey, over COVID, super lockdown, or that's the time it really stuck out. I'd heard it before then, I think. And I played it literally one afternoon on repeat, like, you know, and so, yeah,
this is it's awesome. Like, you're kicking off my, my Qigong musical career.
Yeah, here we go. Well, I guarantee you, you'll hear from people who heard this who are like, yes, you know, you'll get more affirmations because once they hear the song, you know, I imagine they'll love it as much as I do. So very, very inspiring.
Fantastic. I love it. You know, speaking of plant medicine, you know, the herbalists, you know, back in the day would use plant medicine and, things like Qigong practices together. And, you know, if you've done some plant medicine journeys, often your body wants to move in these very slow rhythmic patterns, which is Qigong happening really through you. Mm. And so, you know, energy is very, very palatable, you know, sometimes during these journeys that people go on.
Yeah.
And you'll see that they start to do, even if they have no idea what Qigong is, their bodies start to move in Qigong-like ways and Qigong-like patterns.
Yep.
And, you know, whether you're doing plant medicine or not, the patterns of energy are there. And when you get closer and more in touch with yourself, you'll be able to feel these energy flows arise and move through you. And it feels very, very elevating.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've seen it many times, and even ayahuasca ceremonies, where people, like, all of a sudden it's like, I can't not do these movements. It's like, you know, literally.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. The movement's happening through me.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah. So, you know, I would love to also talk a little bit about your show, Superhuman Experience. I think it's such a fascinating topic. And I had a guest years ago, as I referenced you, who that was his thing. I want to find out so I can just share it with you. It's been years and I don't recall his name off the top of my head. So I'd have to search through my archives and sort of locate that episode and his name. But yeah, tell me about this show and the experience of creating it.
Yeah, it was a beautiful experience. I mean, I've always been fascinated with, you know, what if people studied and trained in Qigong or Tai Chi like an Olympic athlete? What are some of the results that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, if people meditate and really train in breath work, what are some of the results? Do we develop, you know, superhuman abilities through certain kinds of practices, much in the same way a basketball player, a dancer, an artist, when you see, you know, LeBron James, or you see, you know, an amazing dancer do their craft, it seems like supernatural, because there's no way, you know, 99% of us could do what these people do. In that same way, there's people that have cultivated energy, worked on healing, are martial artists with this kind of energetic background that can do incredible things. So we traveled the world for 3 years. Wow. We went around and found, you know, martial artists, energy workers, you know, Balinese priests, Russian psychics. We just kind of were like, what are the edges of the human potential, and can we showcase this? And there was maybe, you know, 100 different people that we were in touch with in our docuseries called Superhuman Experience. We showcase a lot of these people, and it is absolutely incredible. You know, we were in Indonesia, we were in Australia, we were in Peru, we were with the shamans, and we were in Asia with the martial artists. And, you know, it was an incredible journey. I feel so blessed to have met some of these people, have seen what they can do. And let me just say that the human potential is vast, and that we have a lot more that we can tap into.
Yeah. Yeah. What? How many episodes did you create?
We filmed 5 episodes.
Okay.
5 episodes. And then I also interviewed experts. So I have interviews with Deepak Chopra, you know, Dave Asprey. We interviewed people like Wim Hof, some scientists like Bruce Lipton and Dan Siegel and Tammy Simon, the owner of Sounds True. Reverend Deborah Johnson. It was just like, I just kept interviewing people and saying, you know, I didn't want to just go to the caves of the Himalayas. I wanted to come back and ask the experts and say, hey, what do you guys think about this? And, you know, sometimes the scientists were even more mystical than the mystics.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
When you talk to Deepak Chopra, when you say, hey, what's the human potential all about? Or, and you talk to, you know, Bruce Lipton and Dan Siegel, they're all saying a very similar thing.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. It's exciting times right now where this ancient wisdom is meeting modern science, quantum physics and medicine and meditation and mysticism and Qigong. They're all kind of converging.
Yeah.
And I think something new is arising. And, you know, I just want to be part of that dialogue of this new emerging thought and emerging way of moving through the world.
Yeah, you know, it comes to mind. I have a lot of synchronicity around my birthday. And I have this guy who lived here at the Mystic Manor, the co-living space that me and my partner run and manage. And he lived here for a while, and definitely quite the learning experience with this person. There was definitely some karmic things to work through. And anyway, I touched base with him. He no longer is here. I touched base with him the other day for something, and there was a synchronicity in our interaction. Like, he literally messaged me about Hawaii or something, why I'm dealing with something from Hawaii, and I haven't talked to him forever. And I'm like, I make the joke, I'm like, wow, you know, or I pointed out, like, there's this crazy synchronicity. You know, right as you contact me, he goes, oh, well, I'm glad to see quantum physics still works. You know, that was his response. And I thought it was a really good and funny response. It's like, you know, it really is two sides of the same coin is what you're getting at. And as these two sides kind of come together, or who was it that said, you know, magic is just science that we haven't understood yet. Or I think that's it's really, really an interesting time to be alive, as this science and spirituality are sort of doing this dance that,
yeah, you know,
bring it all together.
Yeah. And even with this movie, we brought a scientist along with it just to verify some of these things. I mean, we saw things where you're just like, is that real? I mean, come on. There's one master, and we found actually a few different masters that had so much energy, but when they held your hand or they touched you, it felt like you were put your finger in a wall socket. It wasn't subtle by any means.
Wow.
In fact, it was a little bit scary. It was kind of painful. And you were like, if he turned up the dial a little bit more, I mean, my knees would buckle.
Wow.
And we found a lot of those people with that much energy. It was a trip.
Wow.
And one of the first episodes, we have this Balinese priest. So much energy when he touched sort of the protagonist that's going through the movie, talking to these folks. When he touched them with a leaf, you could see the spark fly off the leaf, and the guy would just jump back.
What?
And he did it to me, and it was like, you know, it was way stronger than holding like an electric fence.
Wow.
He said that if he touches you directly, sometimes it's a little too dangerous. It's too much current for somebody to take. So he always takes a leaf or a flower, and then he touches you with that. The power was just incredible. I just wish people could get a sense and feel this this kind of electrical current that comes from the human body. I asked Bruce Lipton, who's a cellular biologist, and he was saying—
Yeah, I've had him on the show.
Oh, you have? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I love him because he's talking about energy. Every cell in your body has, I forget what it is, 0.2 megahertz or microhertz. Don't quote me on that, because it's definitely wrong.
Yeah, right.
He said that every cell in your body has a little charge. We have 30 to 50 trillion cells in your body.
Yeah.
And when you get those cellular energies coherent and conducted in the right way, that's how you get power.
Yeah.
So, you know, from mind to heart to body, we can get a lot of power moving through us, and you get some results because of that coherence in the flow of electricity. And I think that's something that's happening, and that's something that's that maybe is a Western explanation of how these people can generate current in their bodies like this. You know, I mean, it happens in other creatures. You know, look at an electric eel.
Yep.
They move current through their bodies through, you know, conductivity of the cells. And, you know,
yep,
with the right training, we've seen people do it the same thing.
That's a really good way to sort of tie it together for the non-believer who maybe would see your show and be like, oh that's editing and it's not real and that's movie magic,
exactly.
Whatever. So I'm curious with this individual. You said, you know, uses a leaf. Is this a thing that is constant for him, like as in I can hard like what I almost am thinking, is it an Avenger or X-Men or something where they can't touch someone,
can't touch? No, they do a particular thing inside themselves, so it comes with like a breathing practice. So when you do the breath in a particular way, in an internal contraction, you kind of touch the two ends of the wires together internally, and then all of a sudden your body's conducting this kind of electricity. You know, and you know, like for example, the Tibetans, they use these kinds of practices to warm themselves up.
Yeah.
They, you know, they can go out in the snow. I mean, this is verifiable. You know, Westerners like Wim Hof have shown
sure
how they do this. I mean, they do breathing exercises and they go out in the snow and sub-freezing temperatures that would definitely, you know, most of us would perish under these circumstances. And they'll put a wet sheet around their bodies, go into sub-zero temperatures, and the practice is warm that sheet up, you know, dry it out, warm it up in these freezing cold temperatures. And they generate so much current in their systems that they actually do that practice.
Incredible.
So, you know, we went to Tibet and saw these masters, and it is an incredible feat that they do. You don't feel it yourself, but you see the result of their practice in that way. And it's actually similar trainings. It's ways in which they generate the electricity, the chi in their bodies to such a powerful degree that it has a very physical effect.
Yeah.
And again, these are the Olympic athletes of these practices. They train rigorously for years and they develop certain skill sets, and that skill set can be very targeted, you know, like a different sport in the Olympics. Are you a healer? Are you a meditator? Are you generating heat? Are you a martial artist? You know, those are all, again, branching off into very specific types of trainings.
Yeah. Yeah. In most, like this individual that you're talking about who would touch with the leaf, he's been working at this for years, I assume, cultivating and building up his power, if you will, to do this. Do you think this is something that we're going to see a lot more of?
I feel like we're going to see a lot more of it. I think the human potential, because of the convergence of science and mystical practices, are going to come together in more and more ways. I think our technology will help us. Mm-hmm. You know, we can use technology in really positive ways. You know, even for busy people, we can use different devices to help calm our minds. We can get verifiable results by, you know, folks like the HeartMath Institute showing how we can regulate our heart rates and heart rate variability and things like that. So we're going to see, I think, more and more of these converging, more and more information comes out. You know, it's the age of information, and people, when you hear about these things, you get curious and you want to, hey, how can I do something like this for myself? You know, and it's not like we all have to train it to that ability. We can use it more like, I just want to have a lot more energy. I just want to have resources to manage my stress and live my best life. And I think this is really where these practices show what their potential is. I mean, not everybody wants to be an Olympic athlete or take practices to that degree. In fact, a lot of times it's not even good for us. You know, just because you're an Olympic athlete doesn't necessarily mean you're healthier than a person that just exercises regularly. We don't necessarily need to push our bodies, minds, energy systems to their limits, but use it for ways in which we can live our very own best lives. And what is my natural, God-given, universally endowed set of skill sets that I want to cultivate and bring forth and share with the world? And I think that's a good question for people to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Very, very fascinating. What would you say is the, of your, you know, sort of experience, filming the show and exploring, is there one person or gift that stood out to be the most, you know, interesting and fascinating?
You know, we were in northern China, really close to the border of Tibet. And one of the Tibetan masters was there. We weren't supposed to be talking to him because the Chinese government and their relationship with Tibet is, you know, is challenging, especially for those Tibetans. And so we would, you know, kind of tiptoe with a very small camera crew into his hotel room. He was there, you know, on special leave because he was quarantined in his monastery in Tibet. And then at various times of the year, he comes into China for, you know, even simple things like just getting a dental appointment or doctor checkup. So we tiptoe in his room and we'd have these interviews with him. And at one point he gave us like a quote unquote, a blessing. Mm-hmm. And he just was chanting and sending out this energy of loving kindness. I mean, the camera guy he's not even into this stuff. And his eyes are filled with tears. His snot is running out of his nose. And he's looking at me like, what is happening to me?
His
heart is cracked open. He's saying, I feel so happy, but I don't know why. And he was very confused. And for me, it was just this wave of energy that it's very unexplainable. For me, what happened was I was in the present moment for a few days, and it really took me effort to think about the future in any way, shape, or form. I remember trying to plan like the plane tickets to leave, and I was just having a hard time of really just like thinking about the future because I was so rooted in the moment.
Yeah.
And so it was a very interesting experience. We kind of train for these, like, get my mind into the moment. I do meditation. I do mindfulness. And it was like, now I wasn't living in the, I gotta really focus and concentrate, because I now have to think about planning a trip home and whatever I have to do when I get back. And, you know, it was an incredible, incredible experience.
Wow. Definitely interested to check out the show. Very, very fascinating. I'd like to switch gears as we sort of wind down here. One of the things I love to ask as a sort of a go-to with my guest is a story of synchronicity or serendipity or positive paranormal story. I mean, you kind of shared a little bit of that right then, but is there anything in particular that comes to mind when I ask that question that you'd like to share?
Well, you know, I'll share, kind of the roots of the Superhuman Experience docuseries, because that was definitely synchronistic. And we have, on the website, we have, different little clips that you could see. It's superhumanexperience.io if people wanted to just see some free clips and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the way in which this came about, as I was talking with, I saw a clip of a Qigong master doing something incredible, and I was very curious about it. And I was like, how do you, this guy was there, he was not available. You couldn't find him. I tried to find him and try to go like maybe do a training with him. Absolutely not available at all. Mm-hmm. And then out of the blue, because I was a speaker at Mind Valley's Awesomeness Festival, A-Fest it was called. Mm-hmm. Somebody saw my talk and said, hey, do you know anybody with some superhuman abilities? We want to do a documentary on this. And I said, I know a guy, and I've seen this particular master. And they said, we want to make a whole movie about it. So they were able, because they had a high budget and a lot of resources, we were able to find him. And they hired me to be one of the associate producers on the show, to be able to go travel around. And I've always wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And then what happened a few years into it, the talent, the director, and the main producer, they didn't really get along. And I was always like in the middle, helping people. And finally, the producer said, you know what? I'm going to take the rest of this budget that I've raised the money for. I'm going to go make a different movie. Why don't you take over and finish this movie? So I ended up becoming the producer.
Wow.
I've always wanted to produce a docuseries. And so the synchronicity was I became a producer, and I got to meet not only that particular master, but, you know, many, many other masters. That was just a dream come true for me.
Wow. That's a great example of things just aligning in a way that, you know, you can't really plan for, right? I mean, you could never plan for something like that.
No, it's wild. Yeah. You'll have to check out the episodes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to do that. Well, this has been so cool. Definitely have enjoyed connecting with you, Lee. And it was even a cool synchronicity realizing, like, hold on, I know this voice. It's like if I go ride my bike around, I live in Venice Beach. You know, a lot of biking is a great thing to do here with the lack of parking. It's like probably the song I'll put on the most is Flying. But it is such a great song on your bike.
Oh my God, that's so great. I love that you figured it out as we're talking. We're like, hey, wait a second. I know this voice. Part of my favorite song.
Yeah.
That's so wild. I'm gonna tell Creature that he was just on your podcast. So
yeah, exactly, exactly. So what is you threw out the website to check out some clips of the show. Of course, they can see the full episodes on Gaia, it sounds like.
Yep.
As far as connecting with you for Qigong or just following your work, you know, social media, et cetera, could you share any of whatever the best way?
Thanks, Brandon. With you? Yeah, Holden Qigong is where to find me. And I got all kinds of free Qigong cultivation. I mean, really, these masters, they do Qigong and they do energy cultivation to tap into their human potential. So this is the great place to start your own practice. HoldenQigong.com. Qigong is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G. And that's mm-hmm. probably the hardest part of the practice. How do you spell it? Q-I-G-O-N-G. And cool. We got all kinds of free resources, free classes. You can take a 2-week free trial of the video class subscription. Mm-hmm. YouTube, cool. I have a great Holden Qigong channel with lots of free videos and condition specific things. So yeah, come on over, people.
Very, very cool. Well, I have one final question for you here, Lee, and it is this. It's my cliche closer. And 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Lee Holden?
The meaning of life is we are here to enjoy, to move from our heart spaces, to connect to each other, to live from a place of love and connection to our humanity, connection to nature. We have tremendous potential that's untapped. And as you tap into it, it is like a wellspring of treasure that you've been gifted. You know, we're sitting on a diamond mine with this beautiful consciousness, these incredible hearts and this energetic body. So tap in and discover your own treasures.
I love that. Well said. Thank you so much for the work that you do and helping us all to tap into our potential. You are a gem and, yeah, this has been awesome.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank all of you out there for tuning in, your beautiful brainwaves and incredible hearts. Until next time, journey well. And check out Flying featuring Lee Holden by Creature.
Feel as if you're flying. That feel like to be very light in my body. Inhale. And exhale. Stress as you shake it off. Inhale fully, we can take life in. Connect to that feeling of being inspired.
life.